Bible.
I am
what it says I am. Now say,
I can do
what it says I can do.
Now boldly say, I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right,
Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. I'll be there in a moment.
We're in our series entitled True Happiness.
We're in our series entitled True Happiness,
and this has been a lesson that we pulled from the first sermon that is recorded
that in the New Testament that Jesus preached, which was the Sermon on the Mount.
And he opens up with the Beatitudes,
and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit,
blessed are those that mourn,
blessed are the meek,
blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness.
And we said that the word blessed in the New Testament is translated two different ways.
One way is eulogio, which is an external blessing,
and then there's another translation, which is makarios,
which is what we find here in the Sermon on the Mount,
which is an inner
happiness. Makarios means happiness.
And so Jesus was saying, happy are those that mourn because they're going to be comforted.
Happy are those, the poor in spirit,
those that realize that they're bankrupt without God.
And so it's been an incredible series. It's been real good.
And today, Matthew, the 5th chapter in the 8th verse,
we want to talk about the pure in heart.
So let's dig right into it.
Have a lot to share.
And I believe it's going to be a blessing to you.
Oh, I know I'm in the middle of my lesson, but I can't teach another minute until I tell you why my beautiful wife is not here.
And so the podcasters just have to hear this.
She is at a horse show with Hannah,
who is doing an amazing job.
Yesterday, she racked up the ribbon. She got a couple first places.
She just texted me and said she did the same thing today.
Amen.
And let me tell you how I train my children.
So some of the other girls are really not doing good.
And so I told her to make sure that she goes and checks on the other girls and
make sure that she comforts them, because it could have easily been the other way where she wasn't doing so good.
So even though in a sense they're competing, they're still a big team.
Isn't that right?
And so that's just to help my parents out, to have athletes and that kind of thing. I know you want them to win and want them to do good.
See, like when other kids fall off the horse, I don't like that.
The other parents get happy. So,
that means my child's got a better shot.
No, I don't want nobody to fall.
Does that make sense?
So, anyways, lady sends her love.
All right?
Amen.
So, not now because I'm teaching, but after church, y'all can give her a shout out on Facebook.
Amen.
All right. So, Matthew 5 and 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
And so we see here immediately that Jesus is concerned about the heart.
He's concerned about the condition of our heart.
And so he says, blessed are the pure in heart.
A lot of times people think that the word pure, and the word pure here is very important because he's saying pure in heart,
but really the condition of our heart is what Jesus is really getting after.
So my objective today is to make you aware of the enemy's plan to contaminate your heart, to get you out of faith, off course, and ultimately to lose focus in life.
And how many know it's easy to lose focus?
Yeah. And so we're talking about the pure in heart. But my lesson today, what I really want to talk to you about is guarding your heart.
That's really what I want to talk to you about today, is guarding your heart.
Because how many know that it's just so easy to be going down the right road, and next thing you know, you get on the wrong road.
Now, thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. He'll get us back to where we need to be,
you know. But if we can do some things to eliminate getting on the wrong road, I think that that's what we ought to do.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that if our heart condemns us, we have no confidence or we have no faith toward God.
If my heart condemns me and my heart is in a bad place, I don't have confidence that God can do what I need him to do.
I don't have faith toward God that he can do what I need him to do.
And so it's incredibly important that my heart is right.
God wants to do some incredible things in your life.
And I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to your neighbor right now.
And so I want you to take this lesson personal.
God wants to do some incredible things in your life, but he can only do that to the degree that it is from a pure heart,
that we have a pure heart and that we really love people.
Everybody say really.
Yeah, like infants, like it's the order of God that we love everybody,
because God loves everybody, even the people you might not like.
You got it.
Everybody has that list of people that you just don't really care for that person. I'm not going to get into that right now.
You know, that list of, if I'm inviting people to my birthday party, they coming?
Oh, yeah, I want them to go. Oh, I sure want her to come. He ain't coming. You understand what I'm saying? Well, but see, God loves everybody, even the people that we don't necessarily like. And it's important to understand that we treat everybody the same way, that we treat everybody with love, because the Bible teaches us that faith, it works by love. And so it is impossible for me to be mean, for me to be ugly, for me to cuss folk out, always fussing folk out, but then go to God saying, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. He said, no, you have to first get your heart right. And so that's why it's so vitally important that we make sure that we guard our heart. If you're taking notes down, this is a real good point to write down. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your expectation. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your expectation. So we have to understand that although we're believing for some things, we're in faith for some things, we need God to do some things in our lives, we have to understand that is predicated on the condition of our heart. So the condition of your heart determines the outcome of your expectation. So I'm in faith, I'm expecting some things, but I can't really expect it to come to pass if my heart's not right. Does that make sense? And so I've got to understand that. Because see, what the enemy wants is he wants you frustrated. He wants you jealous. He wants you envious. He wants you angry. He wants you bitter. He wants you to, remember what happened, last year, the year before that, and 5 years ago. You know, the enemy, he wants to keep you in your past. And you have to understand that what's in the past is what? In the past, right? And so you have to understand that it's vitally important that I let go of the past, that what's in the past is in the past. This is a new season. This is a new day. I cannot focus on the past. I can never allow my past to bleed into my present, or it's going to pollute my future. And so I must understand the importance of letting go. See, if I don't let go of the past, I'm going to walk in something, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness. I'm going to walk in something. And then what happens is the enemy, watch this, will use it to push my buttons at times. So I'll be okay for a while. And then that one particular day when I'm already feeling some kind of way and I run into this one particular person who says this particular thing, and the next thing you know, I go off. And then when I do that, I'm a bad witness for Christ. How many know we need to be a good witness for Christ? Yeah. And when we do things like that, we get out of character, we lose our witness. And so if I'm going to guard my heart, I must understand the importance that I have to be a light that's going to shine. Go with me to Matthew 5 and 13. They'll put it up on the screen. I'm going to give you it from the Message. And so he says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God colors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Somebody say, I know that's right. Yeah, I can't lose my saltiness because, you have to be so careful in today's time, because now there's different definitions for saltiness. I saw some of the young kids smiling. Some of my nieces were laughing. Like, does Uncle Jim know what salty means? And so now Hannah uses that. Now, I was talking to her the other day about, something, and she says, I'm okay. I'm a little salty, but I'm okay. I'm like, what do you know about salty? You're 11 years old. You don't deserve to be salty. You don't even, you don't rate to be salty. You're not older. You don't pay bills. You can't be salty. Oh. He says, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and end up in the garbage. So now that saltiness is totally different from the saltiness that we're talking about here. See, I believe that every time people leave your presence, they ought to leave better than when they first came. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that they're even in a bad situation. It just means that when they walk away, they were glad to be in your presence. So if that's the case, then that means we have to really back up, because we're talking about saltiness. You have to back up all the way back to the importance of making sure that I have a relationship with God, because people get the overflow of my relationship with God. Because I pray, you understand? It puts me in a place of peace. So when you get around me, even if you're not in a place of peace, I believe some of the peace that's on me can get on you. I believe some of the joy that's on me can get on you. I believe some of the happiness that's on me can get on you. You got it? I'm a happy person. I like to be joyful. I like to be happy. And you got it? And we're living in a world where people need to be around happy people. Does that make sense? Verse 14, he switches it up a little bit, or not really switches up. He brings a little bit more clarity. He says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. He says, God is no secret to be kept. And how many of us believers, we shouldn't keep God a secret? How many of us believers, we should be bold about, man, I've given my heart to Jesus. I love God. He's the first in my life. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, even when I go out into the public, I pray, you know, at the restaurant before I eat my meal. I don't look around, you got it, to see who it is. No, when anybody's with me, I say, okay, y'all, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. We ask you to bless it, sanctify it, make it good for our bodies. Bless those that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't look around. Everybody okay with that? I don't care. You got it? No, because I have a relationship with God. Remember, we taught you the principle every time we have communion, you got it, that before you break it, you give thanks. And it's so vitally important that we do that. And so he says, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? He says, I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. I love that part. He says, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And so he says, hey, keep open house. You know, my life is an open book. I believe that we should all live our lives in a way where it's an open book, where we're not trying to hide something. We're not trying. No. I keep open house and I'm generous. It says, keep open house. Let me read it. It says, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. In other words, be giving. You got it. Don't live a life where it's just about me and my four and no more. As long as we're okay, that's all it really. No, I'm living my life to impact somebody else. I'm living my life to make a difference. Well, and you have to understand, it's vitally important that you live your life, you got it, to make a difference and to impact other people's lives, because I believe that that's one of the ways God blesses us the most. Does that make sense? You're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. But Pastor, they messed up. Yeah, they messed up, but you've messed up too. You got it? And so I think we have to understand the component of grace and mercy. If God has extended grace and mercy to me, who am I not to extend grace and mercy to somebody else after he's already extended it to me? So he says, you'll prompt people to open up with God. When you open up with people, you got it, and you say that you have a relationship with God, watch this, how you treat them is a reflection to them of how God is. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's just how it is. So you come up and you talk to me, and you know he's a pastor. You got it? No, let me just go. No, y'all use me. He's a pastor. So you approach me, maybe in the community or just somewhere. Let's just use outside of church, because although I don't have two faces, sometimes people do. You understand what I'm saying? They have, you know, a face here and a face inside of church and a face outside of church. Yeah, I learned that as I became a pastor along the way. But anyways. So you come up to me, and if I'm like, how you doing? Like, I don't have time to talk to you, you know, it automatically is that person automatically directly, you know, especially if they're unchurched, they say, well, that's how God is. You got it? But watch this. But if I open up to them and I'm nice, you got it? That's just me anyways, you understand? Because I'm just genuine. My wife and I, we just like that. But I you know, my thing is this. If I don't have time for people, I don't need to be pastoring. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, that's the bottom line. If I don't have time for people, you know, when you begin to talk about love, all right, when you begin to understand love, that is one of the most important traits that a leader needs. Like, if you can't love people, you're not ready to be a leader. That's like a doctor that don't like sick folk. That's like a mortician that don't like dead folk. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, y'all understand. That's like a teacher that don't like children. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, and so, you know, so like if you're a leader, like leader and loving people have to go together. Being a leader and knowing how to extend grace and mercy, they have to go together. You got it? And so what happens is we are all representatives of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. You got it? We are workers together with Christ. And so our attitude determines how people see Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, now watch what Proverbs 4 and 23 says, because we're talking about guarding our heart. And we said, the condition of your heart determines the outcome of your expectation. So I have to make sure that I guard my heart. He says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. He says, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You know anybody like that? Don't answer. He says, avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. How many know that all that is just no good? And can I go a little bit further? Not only do I not gossip, I don't hang around people that do. I just don't. Not only do I not lie and I walk in integrity, I don't hang around people that don't have integrity. You say one thing one day, then you say another thing another day. And you see, the problem, this, you know, can I say this? Yeah, because I'm not targeting anybody. But see, the problem with lying, you got it, is you have to remember what you said. If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember. Isn't that right? And I'm telling you, it's got to be hard to remember everything you said. Because some folk talk too much. So if you just tell the truth all the time, it really don't matter. Because even if you forgot and you say, hey, you remember what you told me? Then if I'm telling you the truth, then I just tell you the same story. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so he says, I'm just going to read this part again because I like it. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter. Let me give you an example of talking out of both sides of your mouth. You know, an example is you see somebody, because we're in church, let's just use church. You see, hey, girl, how you doing? It's so good to see you. You doing all right? I'm so glad you're doing good. And you walk, that girl make me sick. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's exactly what, and God doesn't honor that. You got it? And I believe that we have to understand that's why it's so important that we get our hearts right. Even when we come to God in prayer, even when we come to God when it's time to worship, you got it? And those kind of things, it's important that we make sure that our hearts are right toward God. You know, I've all my life, I've always done that. When I come into church and we begin to have worship, I begin to thank God for his goodness. I thank God for his mercy. I ask him to forgive me for any sins known or unknown. I've just always been like that. Right? Why? Because I want my heart to be right. I understand that I miss the mark sometime, that I make mistakes sometime, and so my whole desire is to live holy before God and to follow holy after God all the days of my life. Does that make sense? He says, keep your eyes straight ahead. In other words, don't lose focus. Ignore all sideshow distractions. And there's a lot of that all over the place, even in church. Can I get a? Because you wasn't going to give me one, so I took it. Amen. He says, watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. See, when I'm watching my step, I'm watching where I'm going. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. No. I'm watching my step, all right? He says, and the road will stretch out before you. Look neither to the right. He said, look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. So stay focused. So keep your eyes straight ahead. Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. So I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm staying focused. I'm ignoring all sideshow and distraction. As long as I'm looking straight, I can't worry about what's to the left and to the right. Let me ask you something. When you drive, do you look straight ahead or do you drive like this? Which way do you drive? So y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Right? Well, so you drive straight ahead, right? Because it would be crazy to drive like that. Isn't that right? Like, imagine you get in the car with me, you got it, going to Moore's after church. And I say, hey, you want to ride with me? Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'll ride with you. So you get in the car. And I'm like, so how's everything going? You been doing all right? You do not care about anything I just said. You just want me to look straight ahead. And your heavenly Father wants you to look straight ahead. He said, don't worry about the sideshow to the left, the sideshow to the right. Look straight ahead. That young man, he's something. That young man, he's something. Yes, he is. All right. So he says, leave sin in the back. Leave sin behind you. And how do I do that? When I'm staying focused and I'm keeping my eyes fixed ahead. Amen. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying to don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. All right. And I believe that we all lose focus at different times in life. I really do. I believe that a lot of us, you know, at some point in life, I know me personally that I have lost focus. You know, why'd you lose focus? You know, sometimes you lose focus because of negative people and negative conversations. you know, and then one negative conversation takes you totally off. You got it. And sometimes it's negative environments. And so there's just different things that will really take you off focus. The cool thing, the great thing, the incredible thing is that if you have lost focus, you can recover. You got it? Because you have to understand, God has set it up in the earth that he's going to make sure that he does everything for you to keep you on the straight road looking straight ahead. So like, I don't know if you've ever traveled 95 or not, right? But if you're going down 95, I think it's around Washington, D.C. or so, isn't it 295? You can get off and go on 295. Thing I love about 295 is if you look at it on the map, 95 is going straight. If you're looking at 295, 295 goes up, but it comes right back around to 95. You got it? And God will make sure that even if you get off of 95, that you'll get on something like 295 to bring you right back around to where you need to be. That is the goodness of God. That is the grace of God. That is the mercy of God. That God will keep me if I want to be kept. Isn't that right? Everybody say, he'll keep me if I want to be kept. All right, now let's talk about how to regain focus. Let's talk about how to regain focus. I think that this will be real important. Oh, man, where does the time go? All right. Oh, man, so, yeah, okay. Let's get into it. Ways to regain focus. You will regain focus when. You will regain focus when. Let's go ahead and start with number one. When you know your senses are flawed. When you know your senses are flawed. What does that mean? I do not trust my feelings. I do not trust my feelings. You got it? I learned a long time ago, I have to take my feelings and put them in my back pocket and do it God's way. Because how many know your feelings and getting emotional can sometimes take you off the path of God or the plan of God for your life? And how many know all of us at some point in our lives have gotten emotional and gotten off, you know, off course? And so it's important to understand that I will regain focus when I know my senses. So I don't trust my feelings, I trust the word. I trust the word. It's a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path, I trust the word, all right? All right, number two, everybody say number two. When you become saturated with faith. When you become saturated with faith. Faith comes by and hearing by. And it's important that I'm saturated with faith. It's important that I hear the word of God on a consistent basis because learning takes place through repetition. Whatever I hear over and over and over and over is what's going to shape me. And that's why I tell people the church you go to and the word you hear, it really makes a difference. Being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help produce your faith so you can get the victory not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it is the will of God for you to have victory in every area of your life. Not some areas. It's the will of God for you to have victory in every area. And even if you say, Pastor, I'm praying, I'm believing, this is good, but this is not good. That is good, but that's not good. Well, no, that's okay. You just got to stay in faith. You just got to stay in the fight. Remember, when walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. But I have to be willing to wait forever. That he is going to perfect those things which concern me, that he loves me, that he's never going to leave me, that he's going to take care of me, but I have to do my part. So I have to saturate myself with faith. And so it is the order of God that we walk by faith, which works by love, so we can win in life. You got it? It is the order of God that we walk by faith, which works by love, so we can win in life. It's the order of God that we walk by faith, which works by love, so we can win in life. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. It is my faith that's going to cause me to win in life. It is my faith in Jesus. It's my faith in the word. It's my faith that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. It's not in my faith in the government or my faith in the system or my faith in the paycheck. No, it is my faith in the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, so number one, when your senses are flawed. Number two, when you become saturated with faith. And number three, when you choose to submit to fathering, and that's really just your pastor. I had to keep it all F's to keep all my, the dynamics of it good. And so anyways, but how many know everybody needs a pastor? Everybody needs a pastor. You got it. Everybody needs a pastor. It is the order of God that everyone has somebody. That the Bible says in Jeremiah that I will give you pastors according to my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding.
So it is the order of God that every believer be part of a local church and have a man or woman of God over them. You got it? Watch this. Can I go a little far with you? That not will just encourage, not just edify, but sometimes challenge and sometimes correct. You got it? How many know that I can't just be your pastor when I'm teaching your faith and encouraging, but I still have to be your pastor when it's time to correct? Because see, whom the Lord loves, what happens? He corrects. You got it? You know, and it's funny because when we're younger, we want to get grown so nobody can tell us anything. And then when we get grown, we realize it don't work like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, I wanted to be grown, but I didn't realize grown mean that you have to pay bills. And grown means you have a whole lot of responsibilities. And, you know, sometimes I wish I wasn't grown. So to all my teens in the house, slow it down. Slow it down. You got it? Yeah. My son and my nieces, I think Pastor Pat dropped them off at the mall a few weeks ago or a month back. And so I kind of heard that they all went out to eat together to Buffalo Wild Wings. And so they looked at the menu, and this is their first time doing it on their own, paying and that kind of thing. Of course, we gave them money to pay, you understand? But it's their own experience. And they're like, wow, man, these things are expensive. It costs to be the boss. That's why I tell my kids, you think you want to be the boss? Okay. I switch with you. What you gonna do? So just slow down. You're gonna get there. Yeah, you are going to get there. Oh. So everyone needs a pastor. The Bible says that your pastor watches for your soul. And so it's important to understand that you need a covering. You need a spiritual covering. I am a pastor, but I have a pastor. You got it? There are those that I submit to myself. You got it? And so you have to understand that every person needs a pastor. If you don't have a pastor, you're out of order. You got it? And not just join a church and say, yeah, he my pastor, until pastor has to sit down and talk with you about something. And, you know, and then, you know, oh, should I say that? Not now. This is a long time ago. I'm serious when I say a long time ago. I think some of y'all say, he just saying that. No, but real. When I first started pastoring, you know, 10 years ago, and I didn't realize that people, you know, because my heart was just open. I thought that everybody just loved God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, I just, as a pastor, I'm just excited. I'm going to help you live a better life. You just do what I tell you. It's going to work. You got. And I realized people don't like for you to tell them anything. And then when you challenge them, they really don't like it. And then they get out of order, so then you have to correct them. And then I learned that there's, you know, since I'm staying with all F's, I'm going to go to L's now. You got it. I learned that there's things that people do when you correct them. They leave and they lie. That's what they do. And I told God, that's wrong. You didn't tell me all this when I was signing up for this. But how many know you love them in spite of? So they leave and they lie, but you still love. Because love is greater. That's a good place to clap right there, amen. All right, so, oh my goodness. Play something soft, got to go. Everybody said, if you had time. Yeah. All right, if I had time. Well, let me give them to you. We said when your senses are flawed, when you become saturated with faith, and when you choose to submit to Father. So if I had time, I would go to number 4, when I'm not seeking fame. I tell you about a guy that called the church, and he hadn't even visited yet. But the first thing he wanted to know is what he has to do to become a minister. I wanted to tell Pastor Pat, tell him not to come to this church. Praise the Lord. When are we going to believe the Bible that promotion comes from the Lord? I don't think he ever came either. Pretty sure he never came. No, I didn't think he did. He didn't like Pastor Pat's answer. But that's okay. I had to learn it, you know. I'm not for everybody. I'm for those that want to live a better life and want to do it God's way. Isn't that right? I don't play games. Ain't nobody going to be competing up in this church. I came up like that. Everybody was competing for a spot. We ain't never going to do that here. You got it. Well, Pastor, how do you do that when it comes to, you know, ministering? I'm led by the Spirit of God. You got it. Everything for me is based on assignment. You got it? And so that's exactly how I do what I do. I mean, my thing is this. If you trust that I hear from God in every other area, you've got to trust that I hear from God in this area. That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I needed somebody to say something. I was about to clap my hands myself, and the sister in the back, she said, that's good. You got it. Matter of fact, Pat, give her, we're going to buy her lunch today. We're going to give, that's $40. Buy the sister in the back, buy her some lunch. Yes, yes. All right. All right, now everybody say, that's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is real. This one's real important. Number five. When I stay around the focused, birds of a feather do what? You become like who you spend time with, right? So when I hang around the focused, I only hear focused folk talking. So it's important to hang around those that are focused. You must monitor the voices that you are hearing and make sure that the Holy Spirit is the loudest voice in your life. When I rely on sovereign favor, I trust God that He's raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. And because I trust God, I don't have to compromise. You got it? Because I trust God, I don't have to compromise. I had a big giving day, and I hardly even talked about it. Didn't even teach a series on it. Didn't pass, but Pastor didn't get up playing any games. I didn't promise you if you be one of the ones to give $1,000 and turn around three times, there's gonna be a BMW sitting in your house in 92 days. Not 90 days, 92 days. No. No, because I trust God, I don't have to compromise. You got it? I never have to compromise. I told you where my faith was at the end. You got it? And we're going to hit that. That's $9,000. That's probably done today in Jesus' name. You got it? But when I trust God, I don't have to compromise. Let me help you. You need to understand something in your life. Hopelessness occurs when the folk you thought would help you won't help you. That's when hopelessness occurs. That's why you got to put your trust in God and not put your trust in people. Can I be honest with you? It's actually wrong for me to need something and say, well, because I know you got it, then I just believe you're going to give it to me. That's why you're hopeless. Because I put my trust in you instead of putting my trust in God. Does that make sense? All right. And then the last one, when I lose situational fear. When I lose situational fear. David makes a statement, and he says, in God, Psalms 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. So watch what he says. He didn't say God was going to make me not be afraid. He said, I've got a choice to make. Either I'm going to be afraid or I'm not going to be afraid. And I choose not to be afraid. So when my focus changes, my mouth changes. And your mouth is your key to victory. The Bible teaches us that confession is made unto salvation. So my mouth is my key to victory. So when I'm focused, I boldly declare where I'm going. And so when I lose situational fear. So let's recap. Jesus says, happy are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. And the way I keep my heart right is to make sure that I guard my heart, because the Bible says that's where life starts. KJV says, for out of it flows the issues of life. And then we talked about several ways to make sure if we've lost the focus, that we regain our focus. So at the end of the day, let me just tell you, I gave you all those notes, that's good, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is that on the inside, I just have to have a heart that I want to do it God's way. That's the bottom line. I've got to have a heart that I wanted to do it God's way. If I want to do it God's way, then I'll get God results. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we give you praise. We give you glory.